time flies and it's so slow. I'm up and down like a yo-yo. I can't do it on my own. See, I've tried and I can't pull the sword from the stone.
Good morning, everybody. It's 9 a.m., just a few seconds afterwards. Here on Saturday morning, it's September, everybody, September 2nd, Labor Day weekend, last gasp of summer, they say. I don't know. What a beautiful stretch of weather we've got coming up. So I'm happy. It's going all the way into next week, supposedly, and the fall is beautiful. So, hey, summer was, but the fall is going to be awesome, right? Yeah, that's what I say. All right, so got a bunch of good stuff going on today. Of course, I have the free form. Of course, I have the new noise. But I've got a guest, a good friend of ours, mine, the stations, everybody really in town. Randy Black, local singer-songwriter, will be here today to talk all about a great band from way back here in Boston. I don't mean to say way back in any particular way that means we're getting older, but the band is called Limbo Race. And Limbo Race was a positive, powerful source of music back in the 80s. And we're very successful, so Randy's here to talk all about that. His comment about that was as follows. He said, this will most likely, most definitely be the final time he'll be talking about and spinning tunes from this band. So this is going to be a good kind of remembrance with some stories and rare tracks. We'll play the singles, of course, as well. So 9:30 a.m. thereabouts, Randy and I will chat all about Limbo Race. All right, so before then, let me get started. Let me tell you what I have for new noise. I have Boston band This Day in History, and that band will be here next week live with us. They'll be playing live, full band, right down the hall in Studio D, and we'll talk to them a bit as well next week and meet them, so that'll be cool. Zopa will be here today, and Zopa is very interesting. It's Michael Imperioli's Zopa. Remember him from a little TV show called The Sopranos? Yeah, it's a musical project of his. We have new noise also from The Evening Suns, who I've played before. This is my second time playing them. Just a great band. Speed Fossil, our great friend, Speed Fossil, has some, as he calls it, new noise, in parentheses, because he says we've got some brand new, parentheses, old music from Speed Fossil. He's remastered it. It's a great track. It's a leaner, meaner kind of a sounding, stuck in a rut. Just to give you a hint, it's kind of like Elvis Costello and Joe Jackson got in a bar fight, and that's what you would hear, sonically speaking. So looking forward to sharing that with you for sure from our friends in Speed Fossil. And starting off today with new noise from the debut album from a UK artist called Laurie Wright, L-A-U-R-I-E, although he is a male. And this is just great stuff. It's a lot of fun. So new noise starting us off today, Laurie Wright with The Lodge here at WMFO.
Now as a man walks in, glues his hand to his chin, he's seen everything plus the kitchen sink, and he knows he can't go back down that road. He could turn around now, be 6 feet underground, why not? The woman walks to the door, so gaunt and confused, like he used at the back. Trying to turn this around overnight. walk alive, desperately trying to turn this around overnight.
My baby loves rock and roll music. is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Bedford.
It's WMFO in Medford, 919 in the morning. I'm Mike. How you doing? Well, I'll tell you, I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day. What a beautiful Labor Day weekend we're looking at here in the Boston area. We're really lucked out. It's been such a rainy, rainy time, hasn't it? So get out and enjoy this September 2nd, everybody, Labor Day weekend. Let me tell you what I started out with, and let's see. Okay, so the first new noise was by a gentleman named Laurie Wright, L-A-U-R-I-E Wright. His debut album, he's in the UK, called Get On the End of It, and that was The Lodge. Second song was Justine and the Unclean. Rest in power, Justine, we miss you. From their 2017 record called Get Unclean, that was I'm in Love with You, Jackass. The Bug Club had the third song of the set. That was from their 2021 record called Pure Particles. That was My Baby Loves Rock and Roll Music. Elastica from 1995 self-titled record. That was Line Up. And Smitty and the Fez Tones just ended that five-song set with one of their latest singles called The Growler. All right, Randy Black is coming up with me at around 9:30 a.m. I got to get down the stairs, and then I got to come back up the stairs with him. So I'm going to put on a couple songs before that and do that running, and we'll be back with Randy as soon as we can make that work. I want to play two songs for you. The first one is one that we all know and love by our band, a favorite band, Speed Fossil, around here. They had a song that came out on an earlier record that we've always loved called Stuck in a Rut. But recently I was talking to Garrett, and he said, you know, I decided to go in there and see what I could do to update that song. And he's done that. It's been remastered. And it's a much tougher kind of song now. And it's just great. So I'm going to play that, Stuck in a Rut, the new remaster. And then I'm going to play a new noise from a band called The Evening Suns called Cindy Socks. All right, so let's start off with Stuck in a Rut here at WMFO Medford.
Common sense. You keep on fishing for compliments. Either way, it's going down. Put a sign up and lost and found. You're looking for some good advice. Just keep on rolling the dice. Well, I got a feeling in my gut. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut. The news is spread out on the floor. The same old story and nothing more. It's closing time, so put them down. Oh, I can't take another round. The verdict. Let's cop a plea. A guilty ass charge of just insanity. Maybe we should just pack it up. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut. We're stuck in a rut.
It's WMFO in Medford, 9:32 in the morning. How you doing? I'm Mike. I've been here since 9. I'll be here till about 11 a.m. when Sue comes in for something about the women today, and she's doing all summery songs because, you know, trying to, like, you know, kind of wrap up the summer. It's kind of sad to me, but I can't wait because she does such a great job. So Sue Edelman today, it's something about the women at 11 a.m. Stick around. Okay, let me tell you what I played in that short three-song set, and then I'll introduce you to our guest, who's got some good stuff today. So started off with some quote-unquote new noise from Speed Fossil. As I explained, the song Stuck in a Rut was in on a record a couple of years ago, and it was a kind of a different makeup to it. And Garrett, the lead singer and founder of the band, decided that he would just sort of take another look at it and do an alternate version. So that's what we heard, Stuck in a Rut remastered. Then we heard a band called The Evening Suns, brand new single from this year called Cindy's Socks. Jeez, that's a lot of fun. Socks, S-O-X, by the way. And Gary Wright just threw that one in there just as a little reach back in time because I'm a DJ and I have that kind of power. And Randy's laughing at me, but he knows it's true. That was from a record in 1975 when I was alive called The Dreamweaver. And that was Love Is Alive. A lot of talk about being alive, Randy. What do you think about that?
Oh, I was in the Plow one early afternoon, and one of the DJs. Yeah, the DJ that serves drinks. The bartender had that song on his playlist, and it played it really loud, and like there were 10 people in the club going, "My love is on fire."
It's one of those songs.
Yeah, really.
It totally is. I know. I wish I wrote a song like that. Yeah. Yeah. If I did, I would give it to you and have you record it.
Have you written a song?
I haven't. That's our next thing that we'll have to do.
Okay.
All right.
We'll write a song. We'll
start on that right away. All right. So everybody, this is Mr. Randy Black.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Randy. I'm sure most of you know Randy. He's been around for just a couple of years here in the Boston area as a local singer-songwriter. And we're going to talk exclusively about a band that you were in, Randy, back in the very late 70s
and the dark ages.
And into the 80s. Well, you know, those of us that were there remember it fondly. And
I remember it fondly. It was quite a scene. It was... you know, I'm thinking that the scene now, the music scene in Boston, it lags for a little while, but then it picks up again. Right now, the scene, I think, is flourishing.
On fire.
People playing and then going to hear their friends who were in other bands, and it was just like that back then, back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, we used to play like three nights a week. Oh, we're talking about Limbo Race.
Yeah,
we used to play three nights a week, and then I'd go out another three nights to hear other bands. It was really, it was that kind of support and community, and you know, that's what I love about this area and you guys, the DJs that make it happen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we really are extremely lucky around here, and like you said, I'll just highlight the fact that, you know, so many singer-songwriters make a point of going out to support their friends who are singer-songwriters, and they always show up at the shows. So, you know, you always know somebody when you go to see a band. You always know somebody that's there. So It's really nice around here. So, Limbo Race, how did that band name come about, Randy?
Oh, probably like the Heathcroppers. I just figured nobody else had it. Limbo was I grew up Catholic, and Limbo was a concept. That's where the the babies, the dead babies who hadn't been baptized, went to spend eternity, and it was like, really, wow. So and then race. I mean, it just kind of, I thought the words just worked well together. You know,
I mean, I never ever could have come up with that if I hadn't asked. Not being a Catholic.
Yeah,
but that's interesting that's where it came about.
Yeah, and it stuck, you know, it stuck, and it was a kind of a fun name, you know. People riffed on it, you know, Bimbo Face and other things I can't say on the radio.
Oh, how nice for you!
Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats.
Hey, we're Bimbo Face. Hey. We're here to rock your socks off.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but I think that the bassist of the band was a trio. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And how did you guys meet? Did you know each other? And how did it happen?
I was working at Subway sandwich shop in, on Bromfield Street in Boston, downtown Boston, and John Neidhart, the bass player, was working at Barnes & Noble, which is right up the street, and he used to come in for lunch all the time. And it was like, oh, yeah, so, yeah, you play guitar, you play bass, yeah, well, why don't we get together? And it was like, we just knew we had something from the first time we got together. It was really, I mean, his bass playing to me is in that band is astounding, So we went from there. We had a first drummer named Peter Caveney. We just advertised for a drummer.
Yeah.
And Peter came in, and he was with us for a little while. And then the night that he was leaving, we were playing at the Underground. And the night that he kind of gave his notice, and this is going to be my last gig, Mark Poulin showed up in the audience. And he had been in my band, Walking Wounded, which was before Limbo Race. And I was like, what are you doing here? and he said, oh, I just come near you. And I said, well, you know, you want to be in the band? And he said, oh, yeah. So that was it. That was the trio.
Okay. And, so Walking Wounded, an obvious Catholic reference as well.
Oh.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. All right. So
Walking Wounded don't go to Limbo. They go straight to hell.
I don't know the rules. I'm a Jew. So drummers, yeah. I mean, a lot of bands I know have multiple drummers over the years. For whatever reason, sometimes they don't stick. You're lucky if they do. So that was the basis of it. Did you ever have, I think you did, did you ever have other contributors to the band along the way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, toward the end, we had, first we had Mark Schenevert on saxophone. He was sit in with us.
Always nice to have a sax.
And then Catherine Coleman joined us on keyboard. So we were five piece at the end. Mm-hmm. John was resistant to changing the composition of the band, and we kind of butted heads for a while about it. But it turned out that I just wanted more sounds to work with. I wanted more sure. color, you know, and Mark was awesome. And then Catherine was, you know, Catherine was an awesome player and later on turned out to be my wife. So the last couple of shows we did were with a different drummer because Mark had left, and that kind of like, took the
wind
starch
out of the sails,
out of me. And we had a fill-in drummer who learned all of Mark's parts. It was great, and then it was just like, you know, there isn't the spark isn't there anymore. So we just, you know, we didn't last very long, but 4 or 5 years, I guess.
So what was the five piece, the composition, when you guys were in the Rumble?
No, we were a trio in the Rumble.
Okay, and that was 1982, everybody.
Yep.
And you guys, I think this is the saying, you guys sort of defeated all comers. You went the distance. You won the Rumble in 1982.
We won the Rumble. We were an alternate, actually. Someone dropped out, and they called us and said, you know, you want to do this? We said, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't like music as competition.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that.
I don't. You know, it wasn't like we're gonna go in there and blow these guys away. You know, it was just like, well, yeah, we'll just go play and see what happens. You know, and we did it like any other time. I wrote out the sets. We played. You know, we were just kind of roller skating, like on a really smooth surface, just like a sidewalk with no cracks. It was like we just were like taking it. Feeling the breeze, you know. We had dog bones in our pockets in case we met an ornery dog, and you know, it was good like that. And then it was like we won the first night. It was like, oh, okay, we got to play another night, and you know, you made money each time, so that was cool. I mean, it was big bucks. I think it was $100 the first night.
Well, back then it probably went a lot farther than it does today.
I remember when we won, I think it was $1,000, and yeah, that's in that song I'm going to play. But
yeah,
the guy wanted me, I forget who it was from BCN, he wanted to give me $1,000 cash, and I was like,
yeah,
you know what, I'm going to come back tomorrow or the next day, pick it up. You know, you walk out of there, everybody knows you just won the Rumble. You know, where's the money?
Right.
Anyway, that was...
Yeah. Wow, you should write lyrics to Sidewalk with No Cracks. That's pretty good. So, I
should write lyrics? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know I'm a wise guy, don't you? So, I didn't know that you guys were an alternate, so you must have been sort of blown away by the fact that you were winning. I mean, you said you came in and was like any other show, wrote the set list out, you know, went and performed, and you won.
Yeah.
It must have been a surprise.
We won three nights.
Yeah.
You know? So it was fun. It was like, hey, we won again, you know, yeah, let's celebrate. So we did. We'd go home to my house at Hampshire Street where we rehearsed in the basement and, you know, stayed up all night and you know, drank a lot of, juice and things like that, you know, and smoked cigarettes.
Yeah, the chocolate ones, I'm sure. Just, you know, harmless.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's pretty cool. So you mentioned that you wrote a song about your experiences in the band. And the other day when we met, you said, you know, there's something's true in there and there's something's not so true in there. And you called it the Ballad of Limbo Race.
Yeah, we the Heathcroppers still do this song occasionally. Yeah. We're going to do it today at the Plow.
I'm so glad it's the greatest song. You've got so many greatest songs, but I love this one.
Thank you.
So talk about the truth versus not truth in this song and sort of what it's about.
No, you're going to have to decide that.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Well, you know, if you start explaining your songs, it's...
I should remember. You always...
It's
yeah,
the death knell.
I remember. I should have remembered. Okay, so Randy's obviously got his guitar. This is the Ballad of Limbo Race.
We had it pretty good then. Narragansett and beetle boots. We met a lot of people from Portland, Maine, down to Washington, D.C. We thought we were so different. And all the time we were one of a kind. We wrote a lot of poetry and moved into the city because that's where the shows were. When the wheels broke down, we had the energy to get out and push. When the wheels broke down, we would laugh. Like little kids. We were playing in a band then. That was what we had to do. We were inept at the business, but we played a ton of gigs and won a contest and $1,000. We agreed upon a mantra. No taste for haste, no need for greed. We rattled to the rafters, spitting out anger and trying to change the world. When the wheels broke down, we had the energy to get out and push. When the wheels broke down, we would laugh like drug-crazed
teens. We had it pretty good then. The rent was cheap and so were we. We squandered very little and saved enough to limp the beast into Chicago. We were all we had then. Promises and prom night lust. We didn't know what love was, but we took a running start and practiced hard at something. Down, we had the energy to get out and push. When the wheels broke down, we would laugh like toot coots.
Randy Black with the Ballad of Limbo Race. You know, Randy, I take that as a positive, reminiscent kind of a look back at that time. You know, and you make some references I don't understand, like the references to two old coots, but I do get, like, you know, when it broke down, you had that strength to push it forward. And am I on the right track with how you thought of when you wrote that?
Yeah, and that act, pushing the van actually... That was actually true.
Okay.
We went to record up at the Outlook in Maine, and I had this van, and we hired Roger Miller to come with us to produce, and so it's kind of funny that, you know, halfway up there we broke down. we let it set for a little while, and then we're all out there pushing. It was winter time. Mm. And Roger was probably wondering what he got himself into, but we made it.
I'm sure. But this, such is the life of a band, traveling around to either go record or play a gig or whatever. You just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, I'll just mention, you know, because this show is all about the music of Limbo Race. But, you know, I'm always intrigued and kind of blown away by the chord progressions that you use. You know, they're unlike many that I hear, and... you've always seemed to have that. So did you find that your ability to write the music that surrounds your lyrics, I call them complex chords. Do you think of them that way, or is it just the way that music comes out of you? Because it's beautiful. Really.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Really is.
But, I often tune the G down to an F sharp, so it has a, even if you play like an open G, if you play... that's an open G, but it has the F sharp instead of the G, so it's like a seven.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Seven or a major seven? Not a major.
It's an F sharp. It's a seven.
Seven. Yeah. So it definitely gives it a little bit of the good kind of dissonance.
And I do that quite a bit. I started doing that when I started out, and I was playing solo shows at little clubs, like in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is where I had my first gig. But I just liked the sound of it, and I didn't, you know, it was like for the longest time I hated playing the G chords because it was just like so
plain,
standard, and plain, right, and whatever. So, but then I learned how to, you know, finagle my way around the fretboard with different chord voicings. And so I use drop D tuning. I use drop D with the F sharp as the G instead of the G. So it's like there are a lot of different sounds. I mean, guitar players come up to me after and say, "What was that chord? What are you doing? What are you?" I was like, "It's just what happens." You know,
it's a real nice thing. You know, and we notice. You know, those of us that listen to that type of thing for sure. So, let's talk about some of these tracks from Limbo Race. And we met the other day, and you gave me a list of songs, and some of which have a story. That you mentioned, and the first one happens to be one of those. It's a song called Population Center, and you've got a story about that one.
Well, this was the first song I ever recorded in Boston with John and Peter Caveney on the drums. And John Kuziak was the producer at SMAP, Somerville Media Action Program. So it's just, it's just like the first song that Limbo Race recorded. So I thought it was good to play.
Any particular memories about it, or I'm not going to ask you what the song's about.
I kind of feel the same way now. It's like we're pins on a map, I think is one of the lyrics, in those days there was a lot of talk about nuclear war and whatever, So I didn't think we were going to like nuclear war. So it kind of, I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay.
Populations.
And just quickly, what was the songwriting process like? Was it collaborative, or was it you, or what was that like?
In general, it's kind of like what the Heathcroppers do. I bring in a song, and we all, the arrangements are all the band arrangements, and John and Mark at the time, and now Larry Dersch and Matt Grunberg. I mean, I've been lucky to play with people that I totally trust, personally and musically, and they kind of keep me afloat, really. It's just
they interpret
my stuff in a way that I might not if I was just doing it, playing all the instruments or whatever. It works wonderfully.
Sure.
And I feel like I'm a lucky man.
I love that collaborative effort. And now let's play two songs at a time. So the next one that you mentioned is one called Cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
What about that one?
They
were prevalent back then, I know.
Cigarettes were.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were a good band, weren't they?
Yeah, that's not what I was. I mean, you know what I mean. That was part of the times. I mean, that people were told that cigarettes weren't good for you by that time. Not like the 60s when I grew up, I remember my parents would have people over and the house would fill with smoke.
Yeah.
I mean, people just didn't know or care. But what was the impetus for the song Cigarettes?
Well, the lyric is at least, I'm walking, I was alone in the city, and I didn't have much to call my own except, at least these cigarettes are mine.
Ah. All right, and before I spin these two, I just want to point out that these songs really haven't been heard, certainly not on the radio, for a long time.
And if ever.
And part of the reason that we're doing this is to just sort of have the audience that maybe remembers or is interested to find out what it was like to hear them. And we're also going to add these songs to our digital library here, and we'll share them with other radio stations around here too, so that we can have them to play.
That's awesome, Mike.
So that's the thing. So, all right, so let's do that. Let's spin those two. I'll spin Population Center, and then I'll segue beautifully, I'm sure, into Cigarettes. And we'll be back to talk some more with Randy Black, all about Limbo Race, here at WMFO in Medford.
We were we could be.